I heard the story of a little boy who grew up in a good Christian home where he was taught that Jesus was the reason for the season. And he was taught that all the gifts that he got on Christmas Day, really, if he was going to thank anybody for them, he needed to thank Jesus. And he was taught that really, he kind of deduced over time, really, if I want to get something for Christmas, what I need to do is write a letter to Jesus. And so one Christmas season, boy decided he really wanted a Nintendo Switch. And so he began to write out his Christmas letter to Jesus, and he said, "Dear Jesus, I've been good all year." And he thought about it for a second. And he got his pen and crossed that out. He said, no, "Dear Jesus, I've been good for 6 months." He started to think a little bit. And this is Jesus we're talking about, so no, it's not true. So he crossed that out. "Dear Jesus, I've been good for 3 months." Began to think of some of the fights he had with his sister lately and some of the things he said to his mom, and he crossed that out. No, I can't do that. "Dear Jesus, I've been good for the month." Well, that's not true either. He crossed that out. Running out of pieces of paper by this point, and he says, "Dear Jesus, I've been good for 2 whole weeks. And then he remembered the pastor's sermon from Sunday and how we're all sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And he's, no, I can't say that either. And so in desperation, he's trying to think, okay, "Dear Jesus, I have been good for 1 whole day. He started to think for a while and he said, "I don't even know that I've done that." So in desperation, he threw down his pen and went over to the family's mantle where the nativity manger was set up. And he grabbed the image of Jesus' mother Mary and went back over to his pen and paper and he wrote, "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again..." It's really easy to miss the point at Christmas time, isn't it? It's really easy to get caught up in something other than the main purpose of Christmas. I remember not that long ago, a major guy on cable news was talking about the war on Christmas, and he said something to the effect of, if people want to celebrate their nice traditions, leave them be. Let them celebrate Christmas. Enough with this happy holiday stuff. And as much as I appreciate a man's sentiment, I want to say to you that the Christmas story is not merely a nice tradition. If the Christmas story is merely a nice tradition, then there's nothing that separates it from all the other traditions that you might have in your family and I might have in mine. I would suggest to you on the power of the Word of God and on the beauty of the Christmas story that the Christmas story is much more than a nice tradition. It is a life-changing, world-altering, history-shaking event. The Bible tells us this, beginning in Luke chapter 2. "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, For I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Can I share with you briefly three life-changing, world-shattering, history-shaking truths from the Christmas story? This is so much more than just a nice tradition. If this story is true, it means that there is no power that God does not control. You think about what's happening in this story. A historical event of which we can find archaeological evidence to back it up. There is this guy, Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man in all of the world. Power, unbridled power. In that day, you would say, Caesar is Lord. Be worshipped as a god. Incredible power. And Caesar Augustus decides he wants to see how broad his power really is. I'm going to count and see how many subjects I really have. And so he declares a census. And he decrees that in order to be counted in this census, you must go back to your hometown. And yet, Caesar Augustus thinks he is doing something very powerful. And he is merely a pawn in God's chess game. Because God had promised hundreds and hundreds of years before that there would be a Messiah, a shepherd for His people, and He would be born in a small backwater hick town that nobody thought anything of called Bethlehem. Someone in my Sunday school class this morning said, Bethlehem sounds a little bit like Pocosin. Sorry if that's offensive to you. This baby, it was prophesied hundreds of years before He's going to be born in the city of Bethlehem. And here Caesar Augustus is, the height of power, unbridled, unparalleled power. And He is merely doing the bidding of Almighty God. If the Christmas story is true, there is no power that God does not control. I wonder, brother, sister, friend, what power do you look to or cling to in this world? It's so easy to look to the power of Capitol Hill, Wall Street, Hollywood. It's so easy to look to the power that we have in our own jobs and our own worlds and our own spheres of influences, even in our own churches. And yet, none of that power is anything apart from the almighty control of God. He turns the hearts of kings in His hand, the Bible says. There is no power that He does not control. Second life-changing truth. There is no pain that God hasn't felt. Think about the incredible truth of the Christmas story, that God became man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That God, the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, who did not begin existing in Bethlehem, by the way, if the Bible is true and we stake our lives on it, if the Bible is true, this Jesus has always existed. He is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God looks like, look to Jesus, the Bible tells us. He was in the beginning with God, and nothing that is made was made apart from His power. He always has been. So in that moment, Jesus Christ does not begin existing, but He steps in onto this earth in human flesh. That is staggering. And it ought to change everything for you, brother, sister, friend. Have you ever felt like there's no one that understands what you're going through? Have you ever felt like you're experiencing a pain, a deep pain that no one can truly understand? Have you ever shook your fist at God, either literally or perhaps in your own soul, in anger because He doesn't know what it's like to suffer? That is true of every other God except this one. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, He is really born. He is born like any other human baby is born. His conception is different. The Bible tells us He's conceived of a virgin, but His birth is just like any other birth, which means, among other things, it was not a silent night. The song we are so familiar with says, "The little Lord Jesus, no crying He makes." That's a really weird baby. That is not Jesus. We think of Jesus with a halo around His head and He's perfectly white and well manicured and He looks just like, you know, just out of a picture. All right? And we think of Jesus as kind of like Clark Kent pretending to be a real human being when all along He has all the power and all the strength of Krypton. But Jesus Christ is fully, completely, 100% man. And so when He was born, He did what normal babies do. And He cried. He was dependent upon the mother that He created to keep Him alive. That ought to stagger your imagination. There is no pain in your life, brother, sister, friend, that this Jesus has not experienced and then some. He has, the Bible tells us, been tempted in all ways just like we are, yet without sin. There's one thing that sets Jesus apart in His humanity from every other human that's ever lived on the face of the earth, and that is that Jesus Christ never, ever sinned. Perfect. Obeyed the law of God, and yet the Bible tells us that this Jesus Christ died a death, a cruel death, unlike any pain that any of us have ever experienced. A pain of death, experiencing the wrath of God on the cross in our place. The Christmas story ought to change everything for you, friend, because there is no pain that God has not felt. And number three, there is no person that God cannot save. There's no person that God cannot save, that God cannot rescue. I still remember the night before our first child was born, our 7-year-old Jonah. And many of you have experienced this because you've raised children in the digital age. But there's something different that parents have to do now when children are born that maybe some of you didn't have to do with your own kiddos. Here it is. It's the inevitable social media post, right? So at some point, the baby's born, and at some point, if you're hip and with it, like everybody else, you're going to put it on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever. You're going to do something. It's going to be on social media. But there's something that's incredibly important. You've got to make sure all the important people got the personal information before they see it on social media, right? In other words, you don't want mom to find out she's got a grandson on Facebook. Merry Christmas, Mom. Sorry. Right, it doesn't work, right? So I remember the night before Jonah was born, my wife and I are laying in bed and we're making a list, true story, making a list of everybody we have to tell with a personal information, picture, all that sort of stuff before it gets live on Facebook. Who do you think made the list? Not the mailman. The most important people in our lives. The most precious people in our lives. I want you to think about that night as God is preparing to make the announcement of His Son being born. Who does He go to? Pharisees, scribes, religious leaders, kings, emperors, wise men, not even them. He goes to the most unlikely people, to a group shepherds. Now, it's hard for us to get this because we don't live in the first century Palestinian culture. But in that day, a shepherd was an outcast. In that day, a shepherd was cut off from the people. Many rabbis would not allow shepherds into the synagogue because they were considered filthy and unclean. There were some rabbis who debated whether it was acceptable to leave a shepherd in a pit if you found him in one. Because these guys were so lowly, they were so uncouth, nobody really wanted to be associated with shepherds. They were the lowest of the low. And God says, they're the ones that get the announcement that my son is born. And notice what the angel says to the shepherds. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Unto you. Brother, sister, friend, if Jesus was born unto them, unto those shepherds, the lowliest of the low, then He is born unto you too. You might feel like your life is too far gone and there's no way that God could love you right where you are. Maybe you've got to clean yourself up first. God doesn't go send angels to the shepherds to clean them up before He brings them in. He goes to them just as they are and tells them the story of the good news. That is, friend, the message of grace. Religion and all the other religions of the world say this: if you want to have a relationship with God, clean yourself up, try harder, do better, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, and then perhaps God will love you. Christianity says, God loves you not because you are clean, not because you are good, but because He is good, because He is holy, and because He is a God of grace. I can't think of a better Christmas gift for my friends here tonight than for you to know this Jesus. For you to have a relationship with this Jesus. For those of you that are followers of Christ, for you to be secure and grounded and rooted deep in this relationship with Jesus Christ. For you to experience what the shepherds experienced that night. Something so amazing, your life is forever changed. The Christmas story is that kind of story. The story that you're invited into. Here's the simple question. Do you believe? Do you believe that this Jesus really is who the angels say He was? Do you really believe that He is who He said He was? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Me. There is one way to God, and I am He, Jesus said. Have you called on Him? I invite you tonight, in just a moment, we're going to sing Silent Night. And maybe, as the light from the candles is heading your way, as you sing the song Silent Night, maybe God will bring quiet to your soul. And maybe the light of the world will shine in you. I wonder if there was someone in here tonight that would say, I have never repented of my sins and put my faith in this Jesus Christ. If that's you, I can't think of a better thing to do on Christmas Eve than to turn from your sins and put your faith in Jesus. Chances are, if you're our guest here tonight, you came here with somebody who's somehow connected to Pocosin Baptist Church. So don't leave here tonight, or don't leave your gathering, whatever you're doing next, without talking to them about what it means to have this relationship with Christ. Not something we work for or earn, but something that we merely receive by faith. It's that beautiful. It's that type of life-changing gift. great C.S. Lewis, great Christian thinker, 20th century, said that Jesus Christ is either a liar, he said he was God and he was not, a lunatic, a crazy person who believes he's someone that he really isn't, or he is exactly who he said he was. He is liar, lunatic, or Lord. You cannot say he is merely a good man. So, do you believe? Can I pray with you?